Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Welcome in to the Eric Ainge Show. It's our final hour, and as we typically do for our final hour on Wednesdays, Eric, we tip it off with a little game of over-under, and that's brought to you by Agely Sports and Avalon Golf and Country Club.
Yep, we'll tell you all about them, avalongolf.com.
All right, Joel, you have our four over-under topics. Let's play the numbers.
All right, item number one, Ben Roethlisberger feels really good, says his 2019 surgery repaired three torn elbow tendons. Assuming the normal 16-game season is played, how many games does Big Ben start this year? Over, under, set at 12.5.
I'm going to take the under. I think he has problems, flare-ups with that elbow, other injuries. He's old and he's fragile. He's a tough guy, and he'll try to gut it out, but I will say he will start 11 games this year.
Joel?
Yeah, I'm going to take the under as well, because I just feel like if there's another injury that comes back, I know that he's saying he's lighter than he's been in over a decade, said the surgery was a success. I don't want to put a ton of faith in his durability with the number of hits that he's taken over the years, so I'm going to take the under.
I mean, when I was listening, I always guess what I think the number ought to be, and I was going to say 12. So 12 is basically, you know, once a month, give or take, he can't go. I don't think that'll happen. I think he'll either get hurt and, like, can't play at all, like kind of like this past year. Like, he'll either be out there or he won't. And so I'm going to take the over with that much emphasis on his health. You know, they'll be protecting him, and he'll be getting the ball out quick and trying to last as long as he can. I'm going to take the over.
All right. Item number two, Greg Schiano starts his return to Rutgers with a 10-game Big Ten only schedule. Over under on Scarlet Knight victories this year, setting it at 1.5.
I'll take the under. That he wins one game or zero games this year. Maybe he gets one.
Yeah, I got to take the under this year, too. I can't see them winning two conference games in his first season, and that's not to say that he can't do a better job than what they've been dealing with over the last few seasons. It's such a tougher place to win now than when it was a Big East school, and that's just part of the difference in expectations now versus 15 years ago when it comes to Piscataway, New Jersey. So I'm going to take the under, and I'd be very surprised if he got win number two.
Yeah, I don't know where... I mean, maybe Indiana at home they win. Maybe I'm having trouble finding the one.
The reason, if they don't win their first one in the first month, then they're going to be 0-4. You know, if the first half of the year, if they're 0-5, then they're going 0-4.
Well, their first five are Nebraska, at Ohio State, Maryland, Michigan, Penn State.
Yeah,
they don't get that Maryland game. They got no shot.
There's two games in there that they might be able to, like, have a competitive chance against. If they don't win either of those two games, they're obviously going to lose the other three. They'll go over. I'm going to take the under.
Item number three, Sam Pittman is in his first year at Arkansas. Derek Mason likely in his last year at Vandy. Combined wins for the two coaches in 2020, Vanderbilt and Arkansas, the over-under set at 2.5.
I'm going to take the under there. I think now the variable
is Arkansas going to beat out of the West.
Maybe Mississippi State, maybe Ole Miss. I don't know.
They'll be touchdown or more underdogs probably to both those teams.
They might get to play Missouri. They might have a chance in that one. The only hope I think that Arkansas has is if they play Vanderbilt as their cross division rival. I think Vanderbilt's only hope is if they get Arkansas in their cross-division rival. So I'll take the under. I think the two teams combined for one win this year.
I'm actually going to take the over just on the off chance. There's got to be an upset in there somewhere. than there is in college football all over the place. We've seen Derek Mason's teams have some level of competitiveness at some point, so I'm going to take the over.
I'm going to go with Joel. I'm going to take the over, too. I think Sam Pittman at Arkansas with a renewed emphasis on the line of scrimmage could, and maybe taking care of the football, maybe they could go out there and the ball could bounce their way once or twice to get a couple wins. And Vandy's the one that I'd be more concerned about. You know, year one is a little easier to stay optimistic than, right, than your last year. So
yeah,
I think I'm more worried about, not that I'm worried, but I would be more concerned if I were a Vandy person, even than Arkansas. But I'm going to take the over, but barely.
Item number four, UConn became the first FBS program to cancel its football season today. How many other FBS teams will punt on 2020? The over-under set at 3.5.
It's not going to be any Power 5 schools.
Probably not. The football, the FBS independents, Notre Dame's not in that group anymore. I can see New Mexico State, UMass, and one other canceling, so I'll take the over. I think it's 4 or 5.
Yeah, I mean, you've got 5 other independents outside of Notre Dame.
Army's going to play. They've already said they're going to find a way to play.
So that's 4
remaining. I think BYU
remaining.
Will play.
I would just think that at some point there's going to be at least a group of 5 school that's going to deem it unnecessary to play this season for one reason or another. You think that some school, I mean, at least one school's got to have an outbreak, right?
Yeah, that's kind of where I was, where you'll get, you know, UMass and New Mexico State will join UConn. That's 3. I only need one more. I think somewhere somebody gets one more.
Idaho is no longer an FBS program,
right?
But I've been hearing that most of their players are apparently choosing to opt out.
75% are opting out.
Yeah. So, but that's an FCS program now, so that doesn't matter. But I'm still going to take the over.
I don't know, man. This is hard because there's no way any of these schools want to do this. Yeah, you know, it's not right. Like it's not like we're sitting back going, "Oh, they can't wait to do this. They can't wait to not play." Nobody wants to put themselves in that financial bind, and just have all those athletes not participating. I mean, let's talk. Look at all the dead costs that you just have to eat when you can't even recoup any of the money. I mean, it's just, oh, it's brutal. So I'm going to take the under because I think people are really going to want to play. But it wouldn't shock me if this one ends up going over.
And that's how we play over under. And it's brought to you each Wednesday to kick off the 11 o'clock hour by our good friends at H3 Sports and Avalon Golf and Country Club.
Yeah, you know, in H3 Sports, it's all owned by my friend Tony, and he's an awesome guy, and everything that he touches gets better. So when he bought Diamond Baseball, when he bought, you know, the different training facilities, when he bought different stuff, I mean, look at the staff. If you have a young kid that's a baseball player and you go, or a softball player, and you go look at the former Orange that's over there to help, I mean, like Hochaver's dad gives pitching lessons, for crying out loud. I mean, it's just crazy. And then everything over at Avalon right now is, in fact, today would be a great day to get some golf in between the storms here, go play 9. That's what we normally do. We just get over there. It's unlimited golf when you're a member, and they have the best carts. It's shaved at least 4 or 5 strokes. Brian, I'm actually getting, like, good at golf, not just hitting the golf ball. I'm getting to be a legit golfer now because of the golf carts at Avalon. It's shaved at least 5 or 6 strokes off my bad depth perception that I have.
You did have some bad depth perception. I told you something was 150 one time. You're like, nah, there's no way.
No. Give me my hybrid. Hit it 100 yards past the green.
Yep. Apologies to the homeowners. The homeowners around Avalon are probably the most excited about the new carts because of the effect on your game.
There's less of a, everybody quiet, wait for it. Whoops. Yeah. I just kind of wave and say sorry. That's on brand. Me hitting your house with a golf ball is on brand. And my wife would say, Eric, not everything that's on brand is a good thing.
Put that one on the quote board. Not everything that's on brand is a good thing. We'll come back. 656-9900 if you want to join us. What's happening to Colorado State? What are they doing out there? That's next on the Eric Ains Show.
Okay. So he's just the old school guy that hasn't learned that 2020 is not the 70s anymore.
He's a young old school guy, yes.
I fancy myself one of those, actually. Mm-hmm. 34 going on 50 is how I normally phrase it. I think that's one of the reasons, and you're definitely that way. It's one of the reasons why we have 20-year-olds that listen to us and 80-plus, 90-plus-year-olds that listen to us. And it's one of the reasons I think we do well is we don't often sound like the millennials that we are. However, there's a fine line between being tough and teaching toughness and then straight up neglecting the health and safety. Like I almost have to take myself out of it because part of me is, you know, thinks back to the things that I used to view as like made you soft. Like we had gotten past the water thing, you know, like water didn't make you soft. If you drank water, we all knew that. But like your bell rung, if you got your bell rung, you were and you didn't play, you were soft. If you had a broken bone that was castable, and you didn't play, you were soft. I mean, assuming that you know it was like to the detriment of the team. Like it's such a silly way to think about it because I can tell you so many games that I played in, where I only played because of my own personal like toughness mantra. But I was for sure not the better option to be out there playing. you know what I mean? It's like right. You think you're being good, helping your teammates by being tough, but all you're really not. If you can't read the wristband because you got your bell rung at Notre Dame, then you're not the best option for quarterback. If you can't read something a foot in front of your face.
Right.
So I look at this stuff with Colorado State and Adazio and I go, okay, but what part of this is like him just wanting to, you know, not want his guys like every time one of them, you know, coughs. Like I remember how that was with my wife when it first started. Like if you coughed in public, my wife would look, Amanda would look at you like, oh my God, don't cough because you know, COVID.
Right.
So then every time someone coughs, it's like, oh my God, do they have the coronavirus? Wait, are you a little short of breath? Do you have the coronavirus? Like, I understand him not wanting his athletes to like overreact to some little symptoms that they might be having. There's some merit there. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah.
But actively telling them not to report symptoms that they think could be related to that is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, I agree.
What are they going to do?
The president's office at Colorado State is going to conduct an investigation. But again, these allegations came out when multiple players and staff members went to the Colorado newspaper there in Fort Collins to detail some of the allegations. It is worth and only fair to note that several players spoke out on Twitter last night saying the allegations were not true.
They're looking at it. I remember several times where looking back at things where my perception of something that was going on from the quarterback perspective was different than a lot of other people might have viewed something. Like, I could see there being some guys on that team that, like, weren't in those meetings or, you know, because I doubt Adazio just held a team meeting and said, here's the rules, no reporting COVID. So, you know, that's stuff that just you go to your coach or your trainer and the trainer comes to the coach and then the coach goes back to the kid and goes, hey, don't report that. You know, and then that spreads amongst the team. So everyone on that team might have even been privy to all of that. That is possible.
Right.
Like, I could see some guys on that team being like, that's not going on here. And then 40 of them being like, dude, yeah, it is. That's beyond, if nothing else, you have to take this as how unhealthy of a culture is it currently at Colorado State?
In year one.
Yeah, that's
tough. Let's go to the phones at 656-9900. Bill is up next. Bill, welcome in.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. Hey, man, tell me this, man. Like, how many coaches you think are going to get saved due to the fact that, you know, there may be only, 10 games. I mean, do you think that's going to help out a guy maybe like Gus, like Malzahn, or, maybe if Pruitt doesn't do great, you think that with all the chaos this year that it's going to kind of help these guys? And secondly, guys, about these players that just don't want to play and they're doing all these, they're trying to stand up for it, or, you know, what do you think would happen if somebody just come out and said, either you guys quit this nonsense or we're just going to take your scholarship and we'll just not play ball this year? What do you guys think could happen? Thank you very much, man.
The schools and the NCAA have already said that if players don't want to play this year, the school cannot take their scholarship. So they've already put in that rule to say that can't happen.
Yeah, you got to make that a rule just to avoid litigation, if nothing else.
Yeah, players that feel like it's not safe, they don't have to play. So the NCAA already said you can't take a scholarship for that this year. As far as coaches, I think there's a lot of coaches that are going to be on the hot seat or that would have been on the hot seat and likely fired at the end of this year, but will not be because schools just can't afford it. I mean, we saw that a little bit in basketball this year with all the uncertainty around the NCAA tournament being canceled
in
COVID. You only saw, ultimately one or two Power Five jobs. Steve Forbes goes to Wake Forest. So I think there will be a lot of football coaches this year that will get an extra year, not just because of their results this year, but also because the schools are going to be afraid of not having the money to fire them. I mean,
if Will Muschamp had a losing record this year in a regular, normal, standard 12-game schedule, he'd probably get fired. If he goes 4-6 this year in 10 SEC games, he's probably staying.
I don't think that's wrong. Yeah,
5-7 Will Muschamp, when 3 of the wins in your non-conference are gimmies, and you win a couple, you beat Vandy and Arkansas, and lose to everybody else, including Clemson.
Yeah, I think if you go 0-for, if you're a coach that goes 0-for this year, it's going to be tough. You're going to be in a tough position. But if you're a coach that goes 0-for in a school that doesn't have the money to spend to buy you out, then you're going to get that extra year. And, what's going to be the long-term impact on your program? I think that's a debate that a lot of athletic directors will have. But when you're begging your season ticket holders to not take their donations back, it's going to be hard to say, okay, well, you're talking about cutting two sports, but you're also going to pay your football coach $6 million to go away. That's not going to fly. It's just not. Right, wrong, or indifferent, there's going to be university presidents that aren't going to let that happen. So, I don't know. That's going to be part of the landscape this year. Welcome back. 656-9900 if you want to join us on the Air Gain Show.
Brian, sometimes I like to feel sometimes there's ways to go. But where are you going for tomorrow? Plush by the Stone Temple Pilots, one of the best songs ever made.
Always makes me happy. The doors can find. Okay, we're not allowed to sing. I forgot. It's been a while. It's my bad.
Not allowed to sing bad like that anyway.
We're not allowed to sing at all because all of our singing is bad.
That's true.
Yeah. Which is kind of the way it is. It's the cross we have to bear. Greenville City Schools have shut down athletics and canceled their opener against Powell after a COVID-19 positive test among football players. I hope this is not the start of a trend elsewhere, because as we've talked about, high school is probably the toughest level to invest in testing, and it's the toughest level to prevent kids from having back and forth.
I saw I don't know if it was was this Morristown? Who were they playing?
They're playing,
Powell's
scheduled
playing
to play Powell.
Greenville.
Yeah, Greenville's the one that has had suspended.
I saw one of the two schools' athletic department or coaches, someone said a statement somewhere, and basically it was, we're with the cases, we're, the soonest we could get back to practice would be maybe the 10th, and that's like probably overzealous, and the game was supposed to be the 21st.
Yeah, you can't
have guys when they haven't been able to do hardly anything anyway, only have a few, what with, based on the TSSAA's rules, only what would end up being a few padded practices, like maybe like legit like 3 or 4,
right,
and then have them
the
go play games.
Acclimation period. Yes.
Yeah, that's not, if you can't practice until the 10th and you're supposed to play on the 11th, 11 days is not enough time to acclimate young men, you know, adolescent boys to go play football.
Right.
I agree with them in that, you know, because on the surface you see them canceling it and you're like, oh, come on, don't do that. Let's find a way to play. But then you look at the logistics of it and you go, yeah, you can't play on the 21st. That's just not possible. Maybe you can play by the 28th. That might be realistic, actually. They're not way off. If you could practice on the 10th and you told me that on the 28th they were going to play, that's 18 days. That's pushing 3 weeks. That's okay. But yeah. I don't know what else you do if you can't even do anything until the 10th. And what's today? The 5th or 6th? 5th? Today's the 5th.
Today's the 5th.
Yeah.
So it's that reminds me, my mortgage is due. Yeah, you have a short ramp up, and it's not safe for your team to get out there. And that's where this time of year is a little different than what happens if it's in season. But I think, you know, what I want to see and what I want to hear is, what are the plans at each of these schools or in each of these counties to say, this is how many tests before you have to shut it down. This is how many positives you have to have. This is what our procedure is going to be for everybody else. Because the only thing I've seen from any school system is what the procedure is for an individual kid that tests positive. I've not seen anything on, here's what we're going to do with the rest of the classroom, here's what we're going to do with the rest of the team, here's what we're going to do with, and on and on. If they don't have those plans out there, then it's not safe to play. So they've got to have those. They've got to get those plans and get them ready and let people know what they are. Because if it's going to be shutting down for 10 days or shutting down for 14 days or whatever it is, then we need to know that. We need to know what the levels are going to be, because otherwise it's something that you and I have talked about before. It's similar to what's going on at Colorado State. Are you going to manipulate it so you can continue to play? And I don't want to cast that on high school coaches in this area, but there will be some that will say that will not want positive tests because they'll want that game to continue. And I just think there needs to be a plan in place so there's some oversight of it. So it's not up to somebody who's a stakeholder in it. It's up to somebody who can remove themselves emotionally from the decision and say, here's what's best for all of us. And that's a challenge. It's going to be a challenge.
Well, and it's just like anything else at any other level. You at the very basis of the problem, you're conflicted because you're going, we have to play or we can't afford to do any of the stuff that we do. And then you're sitting there going, well, okay, but we can't play on the 25th. I think the best thing that you can do right now if you're Powell or Greenville is you just look at it and you go, and I guess Greenville's the one that has the cases. Is that true?
Yes. Yes.
So the city
schools are shut down.
Yeah. So if that's the case, then you just have to do everything in your power to keep that from happening. And that means giving your kids curfew, your high school coach. Listen, I don't care what the rules and laws are legally or anything else. When I'm just putting myself back in high school football mode, if Coach Rucker in Hillsboro, Oregon at Glencoe High School would have sat me down and said, you are to go home immediately after practice and you are to come to school the next day and you're not going anywhere else, and if I find out that you did, you're in trouble. You know, like, I would, out of pure respect and love for my high school football coach, I would have done it. Just like I would have in college or any other time. Like, I would have done what was necessary to do my best to not get be the one that gets the case to, and brings it to everybody. Because how guilty would you feel if your neglect for... You know, there's, listen, I know there's people listening right now that are going, Eric, some people do every precaution and they still get it. Okay, that's true. Then you wouldn't have to feel guilty. But if you do everything in your power not to get it, and you do, whatever. If you're neglecting parts of it or just not caring or not thinking it's that important, and you bring it to the team, and then the team, like, how bad do you feel if you're that kid on Greenville's team that brought it to the team?
Or the multiple kids, there was the report that several of them traveled together on a chartered bus to a non-high school event and then returned with COVID-19.
And it's not like you did it on purpose, but you still feel terrible. That's what I'm saying. Like, you would still feel awful if that was you. Like, I feel bad for those kids because it's not like they tried to get it. You know, they're kids.
They went off to camp in a group of people, man, that they knew,
and it's unfortunate, and it's but those kids, you know, they're gonna learn the lesson of, okay, how important is this to us really to get to play football right now? Because if it's really that important, then it needs to take precedence over everything else.
This update from the NCAA in an email to college leaders. Fall championships will be decided on August 21st. So they are kicking the can down the road for 3 weeks, or 2.5 weeks.
Good Lord.
And they are establishing a national phone line to allow athletes, parents, and others to report alleged COVID failures on campuses and in programs. But yeah, the 21st seems a little late considering... And it's not anymore because conferences have pushed back the date of competition, but typically volleyball and soccer would already be started on the 21st as far as games.
Yeah.
And again, they're not this year because most conferences have pushed it back, but just make a decision. If it's an uncomfortable one, it's going to be just as uncomfortable in 2 weeks.
Well,
and Go ahead.
I don't understand why they can't do what the Big Ten did. And just read your statement and include in your statement the big asterisk that says, this is what we think today. What we think tomorrow is subject to change. And the next day. And the next day. The situation is fluid, and we will be monitoring it and listening to all the different health officials and people in leadership positions to make sure that we're doing everything for the health and safety of the student athletes and the sanctity of the sport that we play, that we love so much in this country. Know that we want to play as long as we think we can do it safely. So, as we sit here today, here's what we think. Why can't they just, like, cut what I just said and say that? Because they're afraid that people will get mad that in a week, if something changes, that they change it. Listen, if stuff changes in a week and they haven't changed what they think, then I will be mad.
I think they want...
Like, that's what I like. They just don't want to be wrong, and they want to make... They only have to say one time what they're going to do. That in principle, is flawed because... Everything in our world right now is fluid and changing by the minute, by the day, especially by the week or the month. They're going to push it till the 21st. That's fine. I mean, I'd like to know what you think today. And if things are the same in 3 weeks, then it can be the same. If things are different, then it can be different. Like, who would ever judge or cast that stone now with what the last 5 months in our country have looked like?
Yeah. I think they don't want to make an announcement today that they're on and then in 2 weeks have to say, actually, we're going to do this in the spring. I don't know that that's the wrong approach, but they also don't want to move them to the spring today and then in 2 weeks we're on, somehow on a downward trajectory on cases in the country and everything's fine. I don't think that's going to happen either. So
that's what I'm saying. Just make a statement that says, as of today, we're planning on giving you an announcement on August 21st. Things just need to continue to be, you know, things need to get better. We want to play this fall. Because I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not the end of the world. I look at it for what it is, and you're like, dude, come on. Like, just, we know you want to play. If things get worse, we know you won't be able to. Or they can get better, and you can say we're going to play, and then 2 weeks in, things can get worse, and then you're not going to be able to play. It's like the Knox County and Blount County schools, and now you're like Greenville, you just said, and different places. It's like, you know, they had a plan. The things changed. The plan changed.
Right.
We had to go into yesterday to take our kids into school and meet their teachers, Mrs. Purdy and Mrs. Smith, both phenomenal women, and excited for them to take my kids off my hands for a while. And I just, you know, part of the conversation was they're going to be doing these things virtually and, you know, working on these pieces of equipment in the classroom. And then if we have to go virtual, then they'll have my fourth grader laptop and my second grader tablet that they will bring home at that point for their virtual learning. But there's already a plan in place for when it happens.
You know, I just, to go back to the high school point, I wish that there was a written plan in place that, you know, I wouldn't have even left it up to the individual districts. The TSSAA needed to come up with a plan for, here's what you do if you have a positive. Here's what you have happen if you have 4 positives, if you have 10 positives. And the fact that there isn't something like that, I think, is a disservice to the kids. And some people would have seen it as overreaching, and that's fine. It's not. It's coming up with a responsible plan by people who are emotionally removed from the situation, because that's the right thing to do. And that wasn't done, and everybody in this state has kicked it down to, well, we'll let the locals decide, and then we'll let other people locally decide, and then we'll let school boards or health departments, and then everybody's different. Just make a decision. Have a plan and stick by it to protect the kids. And now we're left in a situation where one city school system has to shut down athletics in their program because they have so many positives, but nobody else. We don't even know if the same situation happened at another school, if anything would happen. And I think that's a disservice to kids everywhere. I'll get off my soapbox on that. I don't know how you don't have a plan. And that's my whole point on it. We'll come back and find out what we learned today as the Arcane Show continues next. All right, a couple of things from the NCAA that, as we mentioned, going to the break. From their announcement, they will make a final decision coming up later this month. But here's something important as it pertains to FCS football. If 50% or more of the eligible teams in a sport in a division cancel their fall season, there will be no fall championship in that sport in that division. We're dangerously close to 50% in FCS football. If you have
I've kind of assumed that that's going to get moved to the spring.
And they are going to hold out the possibility.
Am I wrong in thinking that?
No, but I think you're close. You're going to have conferences that are going to be pressured to make a decision in the coming days, because that's going to be their standard. And I think that's also going to apply to Division II and Division III, where you have many conferences who have canceled or postponed their fall sports programs altogether. You've seen that at the conference in which Maryville College is a member in Division III. There are several Division II conferences, including very successful ones, that have done the same. That's where that is going to come into play, I think, more than any place. The NCAA also says all student-athletes must be allowed to opt out of participation due to concerns about COVID-19, and scholarship commitments must be honored by the university, including beyond this year. Schools may not require student-athletes to sign a waiver regarding their legal rights over COVID-19.
I mean, I'm assuming, for all intents and purposes, that we're going to watch FCS football this spring. And I'm going to be honest, I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah, that would be good.
You painted a scenario, yeah. Brian, for especially not just here locally, but in the Tri-Cities as well, which I guess is still locally. How much fun it would be to go up there and broadcast
Friday before a Thursday night game.
Go broadcast and go watch the Bucks play. Watch some games around here. I mean, I would consume football, FCS football, by the game after game after game in the spring.
Yeah.
I don't have time for it in the fall with college and NFL football. I mean, like, we have to fight to make sure we cover all of the football happening around the country, let alone in professional, during our 3-hour show every day. If it's, I mean, like, we actively, it's a thing we do. We have to talk about it all the time. How much time are we spending on Tennessee, SEC, all of college, pro? Like, there's just too much already in the fall.
Yeah. And
I would love moving some small college stuff to the spring. Now, that's just selfish by me. That's not, no. I understand. Like, I woke up this morning, Brian, and it was a little cool outside still. Someone was burning something down the street. It had that, like, fall feel to it. It's going to be 90 today. It's not going to feel like fall. It already doesn't anymore. But that's the only weird thing for me about moving FCS to the spring is football is supposed to be played in October and November.
Yeah. And this would also apply to the other fall sports as well. We're not just talking football here. Tomorrow on the show, it'll be a big Thursday. We'll talk to Jesse Smith of Five Star Preps in the 9 o'clock hour, and you can always check out that podcast, 991thesportsanimal.com, and we'll play a little Florida, Alabama, or Georgia, too. Should have some fun.
Yeah, and we'll be doing a virtual remote for Hershey from the market, I guess, down on Gay Street. People can go and get the keyword down there tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be great. We'll talk to you then. EA, see you tomorrow.
AJ.
Joel, we'll thank you as well. We'll talk to you Thursday morning on the Air Gain Show. Say we never tried.